Almighty and everlasting Father, again we assemble in thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the assurances that you are with us all the way, even unto the end of this age. Now to thy omniscience you have foreseen the course of events, that there is nothing new unto thee and there is nothing new under the sun. We're thankful, our Father, also that what you have purposed to accomplish and have ordained shall be brought to pass, that you have selected us as the instruments in thy hand for this hour and have placed us in the earth to fulfill these tasks, knowing that we should accomplish that which you have ordained from the beginning, and assuring that you shall empower thy many children, you shall awaken them out of their sleep, and you shall bring them to this position and condition in which they shall accomplish these things which you have ordained. Thankful, our Father, also that with such a sure pattern of an everlasting covenant that we have and possess eternal life that cannot be taken from us, nor can we be destroyed. Thankful, our Father, that before this race also the ascending power of immortality shall once more demonstrate that there is no power of darkness that can destroy them in earth to break the kingdom which you are establishing. So as we meditate upon thy word, upon the background of its antiquity and the endless tomorrows which it relates to, we are thankful, our Father, that you have given unto us assurance, that you have called upon us to understand and to know that these things which you have declared shall be brought to pass. So as we recognize the situations, teach us to bind the darkness, teach us to resist the forces of evil, and grant unto us an understanding of our relationship in this great panorama of events in which we find ourselves very actively a part. We pray for the binding of all darkness in our nation. We pray for the rolling back of the hordes that seek to destroy. We pray for new leadership that shall lift up thy standards. We say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy name we ask it. Amen. We turn this afternoon to discuss the factors from judgment to a new creation. To point out to you that this has been quite a historic week that we have been passing through. We continue sometimes to be amazed at the speed with which things happen. We are utterly unable to comprehend the person that says that there's nothing ever takes place, there's just nothing happening. But a lot of things are happening, and they relate to the subject that we discussed this afternoon. When we talk about judgment, we are talking about the tremendous impact that is the result of forces set in motion by violations of divine law on the principles of the way things have been formed. Judgment is one factor irrevocable when we start setting forces in motion that cannot be stopped. Judgment is constant and judgment is continual, but there are great judgments that descend after the buildup of power and energies reach the point where things are set in motion and cannot be held back. We are on the edge of a great cycle of judgments as it relates to the earth. They are all the results of the violations of the laws of God, and these laws work whether people understand them or not, and these laws are the laws of organization and of creation, even to those forces that serve the darkness and ignorance. We point out to you today that we have just laid the foundation for terrific chastisements in this very week. If you were to turn to the book of Isaiah, you will note in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, we were warned against the kind of thing that has transpired this week. And if the Senate of the United States continues to follow the folly of our leadership, then, my friends, parts of these United States are going to pay for it with terrific military chastisements, and so will some of our allies. We read, because ye have made a covenant with death and with hell, and you say we are in agreement, the overflowing scourge shall pass through, but it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now this is exactly what you've been doing this very week as a nation. And this nation, with its basic responsibility of the outstretched wings of the eagle, you are the nation above all the nations of the Western world responsible for helping to defend, lead, and guide the great nations of God's kingdom. At this very week, under the instruction of the President of the United States and with the background design of a great force of invaders in our society that want to disarm and weaken the strength of this great nation of God's kingdom, we have been spending the past week and some days before that in sessions in the Soviet Union, and we have been talking about entering into agreements, and we have already signed a treaty which has not yet been ratified by our Senate that would stop further development of the powerful area of weapons that we possess. We are entering into a program of disarmament and disarmament agreements and mutual coexistence with the powers of darkness, and we are depending upon this for security. Some of us heard our president deliver an address the other day that somebody else wrote for him without any doubt. And in the process of this address, he talked about the danger that threatened the world. The Holocaust would wipe out 300 million Americans, so he must be going outside of the nation in his evaluation. And talked about the equivalent catastrophe that would wipe out the Russians and the whole earth. And we have just made the earth somewhat secure from this because they do not want to enter into this any more than we do. So we are making a treaty and we're going to trust them. And if they break it, they break it, he said. But we don't think they will. We're entering into this treaty. And the world is being made safe now for future generations from nuclear wars, atomic fallout, and so forth. And so the President of the United States wanted us to stop being anti-communist, warm up towards the enemies of the kingdom, and to turn our back on the prophecies of the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, and the scriptures. Well, this is quite understandable. I don't think he knows very much about the scriptures. I don't think the head of his church does either. I point out to you that he seems to be following a course which is taking the turn towards destruction. I point out to you, therefore, that the scripture said, we have entered into a covenant with death and with the grave. We have made an agreement that with the overflowing scourge, the hordes of Asia. And we said, because we've made this agreement, that these hordes will never try to pass through us, because we just made an agreement with them. So the scripture said that what we have done is that we have made lies our refuge, because the enemy's lying. More than this, he has in his own strategy laid out a blueprint that says he's lies. We've made lies our refuge, and we have hid ourselves under the falsehood. Now, you say, well, will we keep his word? No, he's not going to keep his word. And God's not going to let you in any further tie-ups with this kind of rascality. But he's not going to hold back the judgment. He's going to let it fall. In this instance, then, you read these words, therefore, judgment will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and it's going to be a hail of great hailstones that shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. In other words, this covenant of fallacy is going to bring you up with a shock as the bombs fall. Well, this is a part of making a covenant with the powers of destruction. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, your agreement with the grave shall not stand, and the overflowing scourge is going to start passing through, and instead of buying any protection, the hordes are going to come. In fact, they said if we could get America to outlaw nuclear weapons and the nations of the Western world to abandon the defense of their technological superiority that matches the great manpower that we possess, because the manpower of your enemy is seven times greater than the Christian nations. They have all the hordes of Asia, all the powers of Red China, all the background of stirred-up African communist nations, and the result is that they say we can outnumber them, we can win, if we can get them to set aside their technological superiority and their nuclear weapons. And instead of the scourge not coming through, even if they've temporarily first held back on these weapons and came with bombs and with assault and with the manpower of the earth, the scourge would come through. You haven't held anything back. You just absolutely assured yourself of an assaulting invasion against the nations of the Western world. And if your Senate's silly enough to ratify them, every man on them should never be sent back to the United States Senate. Now, listen. One of the ignoramuses that stands in the pulpits of one of the churches of our Southland over the radio said this morning, we should all rejoice in grace, be glad. Our president is a peacemaker. Our country has just accomplished the highest attainment in the areas of statesmanship. No wonder that the Lord said some of these ministers were dumb dogs howling the pulpits. That's what some DDs stand for. Strange pattern here is one in which we give thanks unto the course of disaster. We have made lies our refuge, the falsehood our hiding place. In the course of this, the Most High said, therefore, we suddenly will discover, and so if our politicians are going to discover, the bed's shorter than the man that can stretch himself on it. The covering is a lot narrower than he can cover himself with. And this is a part of the problem of a developing judgment that you set in motion in this very week. The patterns of divine law and the judgments of God are the automatic results of the things that men sow, built into the nature of all the conditions in the environment. God knew exactly the nature of the enemy when he gave instructions unto Saul, and Saul disobeyed the instruction. He gave the instruction time after time unto leaders, and each one took it upon himself to spare or to overlook some of the instructions of God. And each time the result is the increased condition of the enemy, and before we're through, we're faced with the same situation because of disobedience. As we said to you a week or so ago, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. And this was established quite clearly in the days of Saul and Samuel, when the Amalekites and King Agag were spared at the time when God had given instructions that they should not be spared. They had been responsible for mass murder against your race time after time, and they never can be trusted at any time. God says concerning your enemies that I have a war with them from generation unto generation, especially concerning this unassimilatable fifth column that moves into the nations of Christendom as always it has in the past, and seeks to destroy it from within by directing and engineering or entering into this kind of an agreement. I think that you should recognize that forces of judgment are set in motion, that by the forces that are released in sheer energy. There is no greater power that is at work than the power of energy in the field of thought. The tremendous pattern of a universe put together by the mind of God. The sheer application of the mentoid patterns of energy, gathering together the electrons and the protons in a world of material substance as they come together and as they produce what we now know to be the substance of an entire material universe thus held together. The mind of God holds the universe together, and your mind helps to shape up the substances that are at your disposal to form. As we've said to you before, everything you behold and everything you see is the working of the mind of your race and the things which you produce. Also, you can see by observation for yourselves as you study the things that are round about you, what the background of their thought waves and what they stand for produces. Take a look at India or go down to Africa. They are the byproduct of their thinking, and everything you see there is as well. The influences upon it are the influences of their pagan religions and their idolatry. Their concepts are translated into their scale of living and into the images which they erect, the structures and the buildings. All of them are a symbol of it. Take a look at the friezes on the buildings of the temples of India, and you will understand why their morality will never rise very high. Take a look at these things and compare them with the nations of God's kingdom, and you will well see why the force of things created, moving out to the seat of the consciousness, stands as a part of the substance of the world in conflict. The world is in conflict. To talk about peace as it relates to the world order is a total impossibility until you have brought the kingdoms of this world in proper relationship with the eternal God, and for this purpose you were sent here. The kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and there isn't any shortcut to this pattern of victory. The only area where peace can be assured is in the seat of your consciousness as you perceive that you are adjusted with divine purpose and carrying out His orders as they relate to the period of time in which you live. For this cycle is the only one you're responsible for. You're responsible for your occupation in the earth. Do not permit any evangelist or group of ministers to trouble you about what's going on in heaven. You haven't anything to worry about there. They're perfectly capable of handling everything on that side. They sent you into the world to do something down here. They sent you here to occupy the earth. Someone said, none of our responsibility is material. All of our responsibility is spiritual. Well, you don't have to worry about the spiritual side, because that which is spiritual is already perfect. That which is born of God cannot transgress, and that which is born of incorruptible seed cannot be corrupted. But the areas in which your occupation was to translate reality into the established image of God's kingdom was in this physical world to which you have been sent. Violations of divine law as they relate to this physical world bring the catastrophe of either enhancing or empowering the forces that are directed against you. Lifting up of these patterns and standards which God has established, because they are the way things have been put together and the way they are made, strengthen the structure of God's kingdom. Chemical law, mathematical law, economic law, these laws will always bring their judgment when violated. but probably one of the most destructive of all its violations of the law of race and the law of creation. Here God has ordained that the law of your society and of your origin and of your family, the preservation of it according to divine patterns, shall not be disturbed or destroyed. So if you in any area mutate your race life, or you mutate the structure of God's purpose, catastrophe descends and the judgments fall upon your race. You lost immortality, a immortality that was possessed by the original forefathers of your race when they violated divine law. The divine law of catastrophe that enveloped them brought a loss not only of great spiritual power, but a whole train of events that have affected your race from that day to this were tied into a violation of divine law. On the race question alone, in fact, Mr. Kennedy may not understand this or his brother, but they are toying with the most explosive force on the face of the earth. We mentioned that on Friday night, the Dan Smoot report for this past week quotes Israel Cohen, who is one of the writers for the Communist Party in 1912, saying that one of the ways they were going to topple the United States and the Western world was create racial tension and racial trouble. And at the same time, while creating this and stirring up the Negro, they were going to give a guilt complex to the Christians of the Western world through their psychiatrists until we would accept the fallacies of interracial integration. They said they were going to see that their assistants, naturally these Jews out here in Hollywood and all over, would push these Negroes into motion pictures and would enhance them in all kinds of sports and all areas in which their prowess as physical giants would be shown, and that they were going to use them, therefore, in every field of sport, and at the same time make it acceptable so that they could move them in with white girls and eventually produce intermarriage, which they said was going to help the Communist Party in overthrowing the United States. Well, that's exactly what they plan, and do not think that this is not so. It's exactly what they plan. Down in San Diego, the state college is already in an area of upheaval because the Negroes are demanding that the white girls of that college date them, and they will date no Negro girls whatsoever, and they're having such a moral problem, and they're having such a catastrophe with silly preachers saying that this is what God wants, and silly integrationists talking about the superior knowledge of our new scientific age that says this thing is perfectly all right. Well, let me assure you, there's something that God planted deep down in his sons and daughters that says this is not right, and this power will be greater than silly preachers on the wrong track and these educators that are following the Communist Party line. I point out to you that within the same scope of these measures, that judgment is the result of these violations of divine law. The judgment will end in overwhelming catastrophe. It will not destroy these United States. It's not going to destroy the people of God's kingdom. But the chastisement is going to be high in cost as it affects the lots of the material structure and the material wealth of a society. And it is going to take them out of the area of their pattern of ease in which they seek to maintain a status quo, even though it's destructive, in order that they may not be disturbed or moved upon as it relates physically to them and to their property. A great number of people tell us that they feel very strongly about this, but they're trying to hold a neutral ground in their community because it is more convenient for them. Let me tell you, this is what the scripture talks about when it says that they that would seek to save their life, the same shall lose it. And they that would expend their life for truth, the same are going to discover that they don't lose it, they find it. And they that would lose their life for my sake, the same shall find it. We're moving into an area where the scripture which has told us, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and has made this rather clear, is being abridged today in high seats of government. In this very nation, we discover that we are assenting to the establishment of pagan religions. We have even built and are building a Buddhist temple at the Air Force Academy to satisfy Buddhists from Vietnam and other places that come here for training. Anytime a Christian nation, a nation of the people of the household of the Most High God, with whom there exists an everlasting covenant, builds Buddhist temples to satisfy anybody, you're going to be sure that Buddhist temples are going to come down and a lot of things around it. When in Washington, D.C., you build a church to all faiths and divide it up with all the pagan religions of the world, and then you give this the approbation of a lot of these silly United Nations representatives we have, and a whole lot of these so-called ambassadors and scholars and peacemakers are supporting this program of a temple of all religions. And God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and violate this law, and I'll destroy the temple. I'll bring it down and anything around it. The instructions, as it relates to you, are rather clear. Come out of her, my people, because I'm going to pour upon Babylon double as she has meted out unto you. And if you don't come out of her, you're going to be punished by the judgments that fall on her because you're still dwelling with her. Now, this is a symbolism message in the book of Revelation. When John caught this pattern of revelation, it was in symbol. And the symbol of Mystery Babylon is the symbol in which the priesthood of Lucifer's own offspring set up a control wherein Babylon at that time was its world headquarters for international control, international socialism of its day. An absolute power and control from the cradle to the grave over all people. A getting of these peoples to worship their pagan philosophies under the patterns of security and the ability to control them from the cradle to the grave under this panic that they would hold for this evil priesthood that actually had powers of life and death over the peoples of Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great was one of the most evil and most vicious of all ecclesiastical systems, and it reached deep into the administrative role of the whole economy of the world at that time. So much so that Jesus uses this as a type of the satanic clock for your day, of the program in the world order to take over the nations of God's kingdom, subordinate them under one control, under one group of the everlasting elite, of the super intellectuals of evil. And under this process, to control again all the economy and all the people, and to cause them to surrender every authority and power in the service of this which is darkness. God says, come out of her, my people. If you don't come out of her, why, I'm going to destroy this with the judgments that are going to flow. I think that we catch a pattern of this. We mentioned this Friday. We want this to go out to all of the tape audience that are listening all over the nation and across the world this week. In the interest of seeing whether or not there's an actual desire for peace, there's a desire for power to follow through on the directions of Mystery Babylon. When the Attorney General of the United States, and I am quoting from page 24 in the United States News, the Attorney General of the United States reported to the Southern Senators that they must back the White House plans for the new laws regulating civil rights and complete integration on the grounds that the administration has now lost control, quote and unquote, of the Negroes, and that bloodshed is inevitably going to follow unless they pass these new laws. Why, the senators told the Attorney General bluntly that they didn't like to be blackmailed. Well, what I am now about to show you takes on added significance, and this piece of material would have a lot less value were it not for the accompanying piece. For the very day that this took place in Washington, D.C., on July 18th, the President Kennedy eliminated any doubt before the press that he approved completely of the Negro mass demonstrations against Washington, and said that while Congress considers these civil rights bills, if they do not pass them, why, he is for it, and he thinks that the pressure should be great and that hundreds and thousands of Negroes should come and demonstrate and increase their demonstration until they get what they want. This is the President of the United States. This is the Los Angeles Herald Examiner for this past Thursday. Now, I think this is rather significant. The brother of the president blackmails our Southern senators and said that we have to pass these Babylonian bills for the mongrelization of our race, according to the blueprint of the Communist Party. And if we don't do it, we're going to get bloodshed because they can no longer control them. And then the president urges right after this that they march, even though he can't control them, and increase their number to force this thing on us. Now, someone said, what does this mean? This is judgment. All this trouble when people don't want trouble is a part of the judgment of permitting this kind of demagoguery to rise, of paying so little attention to who you elect and who you permit to move into positions of responsibility. Also, this is a double penalty for having absorbed in our midst and permitting these peoples to grow and enhance themselves in power in our country. We should have deported at the time of the Civil War, when it was over, every Negro from these United States and transplanted him back in Africa. The one said this isn't according to the standards of equality. Yes, it's pretty well according to the standards of equality under the Constitution. Even Mohammed X admits this past week in his periodical that the Constitution was written for a white nation and a Christian nation and was not for them, and that it didn't intend to give them equality. And he says, we don't want equality, we don't want integration, we want to conquer rule with black supremacy. If you can accomplish it, go ahead, Mr. Mohammed, but let me assure you this, that this is the wrong time to make this your aim, because there's going to be an awakening in the kingdom of God, and the judgment which starts in God's kingdom is exactly, my friends, what the prophecies of the Scripture have ordained. Therefore, the powers of darkness will discover that this is the wrong course. You know that Peter tells us that judgment begins in the house of God. But judgment there, not a flexible pattern that only moves in the direction of bending father and father over against the household of the Most High. Judgment will fall on both sides. Judgment will descend. First, the judgment that we have is the trouble that we're now getting into because they're here. The judgment they're going to receive is destruction as they seek to destroy Christian civilization and to absorb in violation of divine law your race. To say this cannot be done. The strategy, as far as the enemy is concerned, is to bring this about and to continue to flood your land with unassimilatable people from every corner of the earth until this great nation and all the great nations of God's kingdom cease to be or look like they now look in countenance. When the prophet Amos talked, he talked about the fact that the countenance of the race was being changed by the violations of divine law, the priests and their leaders. He said that the confusion of faith was the result. And therefore, when Amos the prophet entered into his ministry and he pointed out this was the greatest of transgressions, and the people fell on their faces before God and saw the catastrophe that was involved, and they made these people send away their mixed marriages and send away the strangers, and they cleansed their land, and it's going to happen again. I point out to you that the areas of catastrophe that would result would be the end of a society, and this is carefully being planned and designed, talked about by the revolutionists, and then embraced by all of these strange, twisted minds today that are seeking to destroy the structure of God's kingdom. If you will note that in this very hour in which you live, the churches came out last week in five of their denominations to urge their people to join with the Negro marches for the speeding up of complete integration and the end of all racial delineation and barriers. You say, how do you explain that? I'll tell you why, because they're getting close to judgment. I'm going to show you that in this instance that the areas of the church that turn against the instructions of God now identify themselves with their lack of spiritual guidance and leadership and are now marked as the harlotary daughters of Babylon. They're following Babylon's orders, Babylon's direction, and the scripture said that if they didn't come out of Babylon, they would receive these judgments. And so the book of Revelation talks about these daughters of Babylon, these children of Babylon. The resulting pattern is that denominational after denomination as a hierarchy are supporting the things which are directly opposite to the program of God, and they think this is a popular move to make because the world order is embracing this area of error. Now let me assure you that although they think this is a popular move, that before this thing is over, as God is going to wake up his sons and daughters with spiritual empowering, the people are going to eschew the areas of false instruction, and these churches are going to be empty houses of the false prophets. I'm going to tell you that as these things emerge, there are forces that God sets in motion that are stronger than the persuasion of the enemy, and his people will respond to truth. Under this instance, we are looking out at this strange disturbance. Every time we pick up the newspaper, we see a few more preachers with their collars on backwards, seated down on the ground, being dragged off by the police. We see their wives and their congregations in front of the establishments and places of business, and the policemen are dragging them or carrying them off. Well, this is better than they deserve. Someone said, this is terrible. Well, they brought it on themselves. If you don't want to be dragged off by the police, don't violate the law. Don't obstruct its processes. Who would have thought a few years ago that the churches and the denominations would join in a pattern of destruction to the race and in open violation of divine law? Remember why you cannot get away with this. You are an Israel nation. You are a nation of this book. The laws of this book apply to you and to every white nation of your race. You can't turn and live like the pagan countries. If you do, why, this would bring the normal destruction and degeneration on you that falls upon them. But God says, I've got something involved here. These are my sons and my daughters, my family name, and my honor is involved in this. So I'll just start bombing away on the enemy. I'll make the very earth to swallow up your enemies. I'll cause catastrophe to fall upon you, and I'll have you turn to me and cry for help. Why? Because he says the covenant that I've made with you is an everlasting covenant. Back over the book of Hebrews, even the guarantee of your assurance and the purpose of the Most High God, which is involved in this. It talks about the fact that Christ accomplished and finished this and sealed it with the blood of the everlasting covenant. I'll tell you something about that blood. The reason why that's so efficacious is that this is the blood of the race. This is the blood of the household of the Most High God. He's identified himself with you. He says you're flesh of his flesh, your bone of his bone, your spirit of his spirit, breath of his breath. And then he has continually identified himself with you both in body and blood. And the blood of the everlasting covenant poured out by him guaranteed that he was going to save you in spite of yourselves. He was going to do this because of the family name. Now we recognize there has never been a period of time when there has not been a strong group of people in the kingdom of God that have not bowed the knee to Baal. When you talk about Babylon, you're talking about Baal. You're talking about Satan worship enshrined in the design to rule the world with all of its processes. So we are moving into an hour of judgment. Judgment always follows a violation of sufficient consequence to set these powers in motion. You know that there is always a recreation and there always is a new structure because God continually makes. He's never defeated. And in the instances of things that happened ages ago, this universe of ours has existed throughout all time and ages in the processes of creation and reconstruction at the hand of the Father. But this solar system and this earth, you were with the Father when it was made. The scripture tells us that we were there when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It was brought back to the remembrance of Job as it was brought back to the remembrance of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others. Some of the things which they saw as the Spirit stimulated in their consciousness the great panorama of past events. In fact, the first verse of Genesis tells us in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And when you get to the second verse of the book of Genesis, it says, now the earth is without form and void. Darkness is on the face of the deep. And this isn't talking about what God has created just now. It talks about a creation and it talks about a catastrophe that overwhelmed that creation. And the catastrophe was because certain laws of creation were violated. And the catastrophe that enveloped it destroyed whole continents and affected whole parts of the earth. You say, how do you know? Well, in order that you might know these things, the judgment is described for you in the book of Jeremiah. The fourth chapter of the book of Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, you tell them what you saw. Jeremiah was with the Father when this catastrophe took place. You saw it. In fact, there isn't a person in this room that did not behold what Jeremiah here describes having taken place in an antediluvian world. You say, why can't I remember it? Well, the Spirit can stimulate your remembrance as it did Jeremiah, but Jeremiah was called the prophet of God to bring this back to the remembrance of the people. And I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. If you'll note, if you have a Scofield Bible, for instance, right down at the bottom of the page, it says, without form and void, describes the condition of the earth as the result of judgment. Now, this is rather significant because Scofield quotes the 24th chapter of Isaiah, the first verse. He says, there was a judgment that overthrew the primal order of Genesis 1:1. Now, the reason I point this out is that almost all advanced theologians understand that the second verse of Genesis, there was thousands and millions of years involved. That most theologians that have done any research in the background, the patterns of archaeology, anthropological evidences in antiquity, know that a great catastrophe as the result of pent-up energies, violations of divine law, and conditions took place. And so right here is the footnote that when Jeremiah requotes what happened in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and it was without form and void, he said, I beheld the mountains, I saw they trembled, slipped and moved, all the hills moved. I beheld, lo, that suddenly man was fleeing from the cities, and I saw the birds of the heavens fled. Behold, lo, the fruitful places now became a wilderness, agriculture, such as there might have been at that time, or the fruitful places were broken down. All the cities were broken down from the presence of Yahweh and from his anger. Thus saith Yahweh, the whole land is desolate. But I won't make a full end. I'm going to make it again. Judgment's now fallen on it. Now you say, what happened? What caused it? Well, there's a whole lot of evidence as to what caused it. The Luciferian forces involved in titanic struggle at that time in the heavens and their attempt to subordinate the earth, and the struggles and the battles of that time, even related as far back as that time to nuclear wars being fought as Lucifer sought the control of the earth. The isotopes are on Easter Island, the western coast of Europe. The catastrophes caused the eventual destruction of whole continents before this cycle was over. It caused, under the impact of things that transpired, shifting changes of the earth's surface and its crust. And before this thing had climaxed itself, there was a different appearance upon the face of the earth. And so we read these words, the wilderness now where cities had been. And thus saith Yahweh, I'll not make a full end. He said the earth mourned and the judgments had fallen upon it. The cities were gone. The noise of the horsemen and the bowmen were no longer present in the cities. They'd run to the thickets. They'd hidden in the rocks. Every city was forsaken. Not a man was dwelling therein. This happened in the days when things were voided and things were thrown to catastrophe. I point out that the 24th chapter of Isaiah, which even in the bottom of this note is called, and the 24th chapter of Isaiah talked about judgment. The old Yahweh made the earth empty. He made it waste. He turned it upside down. He scattered the inhabitants abroad all over upon it in the midst of this catastrophe. And this is well known by astronomical study and geologists that an astronomical body was brought in on divine timing and caught the earth and turned it pole for pole. And that's the same effect as reversing this in the other direction, bringing us pole to pole. And the catastrophe of sliding mountains, slipping oceans, and creating upheaval was one of the unprecedented patterns. In fact, the psalmist tells about it. It was tied in with Luciferian revolt and with catastrophe, tied into the same thing Jeremiah saw. And in the course of this discussion inside the scriptures, the psalmist tells us about how the mountains were turned over and the land was buried. And of course, if you've ever been down the coal mine, you know this was so. For deep down in the earth, some places several miles deep, is such a compressed mass of vegetation and fern life in the great upheavals that buried it there that the coal is the result of it to this day. We point out to you that in this judgment, that Isaiah said, as this happened once, God made it again. God recreated, and a creation followed the judgment. The judgment was of unprecedented proportions. It started with the rebellion of Lucifer, lifting himself up against the laws of God, then the attempted mongrelization and mutation of the entire race. If you were to read the ancient records of antediluvian Egypt, they tell about how they fled from lands that plunged beneath the waters, and how the household of the eternal God of the heavens had children in the spirit, and that was you, and how that they had temples unto the eternal God, and the Lucifer that rebelled, Set and Sati, who became gods of dark Egypt later, but at that time their priests, of those people that fled and migrated, didn't want to serve him, had served gods in the ancient pyramid temples of the ancient times. They tell this in their records, and how the spirits of the sons of God used to come and minister unto them. But in the hours of violations of law and catastrophe, when the earth was riven by great earthquakes, and the water rushed into inner fires, and the mountains blew off, and as the steam started to shake the tops of the mountains and crack the earth, and finally the continent they lived on, and the whole mass of the land started to subside as explosion after explosion rocked their continent. And they went then to the eastward, and they tell the story how they migrated from it. In fact, that's the story that Plato got the foundation of his story of the sinking of Atlantis from. Yet it was out of the ancient lore, out of the books of Horace, and out of the ancient records of ancient Egypt. But what was one of the prophecies? That it was going to be made again. Don't worry, God said, I'm going to send my sons, and I'm going to this time put them in bodies of flesh, and you shall see them, and they shall serve you, and they shall lift the world back to my worship, and overthrow the powers of darkness. So the Egyptians had a prophecy of the coming of the children of Osiris, the call of Ra, the white race, the Adamic household. Your race fulfills that responsibility. You went down and built the great temple of Ar, the city of Ar. You built the pyramids, much in the shape of the ancient temples they had once served in. You were now in bodies of flesh. And what did they call you? The sons of Osiris, the call of Ra. Strangely, you know, the background of these catastrophes are histories of judgment, ancient violations of divine law. You say, well, why does God go about destroying? God will not let his universe be destroyed. He's not going to let the order of his purpose be destroyed. There's a lot of things that are better wiped out and put back in the dimension they came from than to be embodied where they don't belong, upsetting the structure of creation. A lot of people are weeping over Yugoslavia. We're sending whole plane loads of hospital supplies and all kinds of medicine. So it says, that bad? Well, it's all right. You want to go over there and bind up what God did? That's God's fault, that earthquake fault. Just remember that you didn't have sense enough to not supply your enemy all these years. You've given him millions of dollars worth of aircraft. Every time they say, well, we're going to be neutral, you give him some more. At this very moment, has committed itself to the program of the Soviet Union. And Mr. Tito said, if the day ever comes and war breaks out between communism and the Western world, the planes of Yugoslavia will fly by the planes of the Soviets. The swift-moving tanks and the regiments of Yugoslavia will march and roll alongside of the tanks of Soviet Russia. And this is what you have been taxing your people to support, one of the enemies of your God, and atheism is the way of life. We told you some months ago that when you passed the cycle of the eclipse measures, that the earthquake would fall, would follow the line of the Carpathian Mountains and could go south to Israel. We mentioned a week ago that the earthquakes would move over into Asia and keep up their cycle patterns if they fell along such fault lines. This earthquake you had in the last few days has been right on one of the show cities of communism in Yugoslavia. You notice in the newspapers, even though Lenin's long dead, the hotel, which was utterly destroyed, was draped with Lenin's pictures. They said they never took Lenin's pictures down from this. Well, any people that still revere as a patron saint the bloody Lenin are ripe for this kind of judgment. I want you to remember that you can have your emotions stirred sometimes. You see somebody carrying a dead baby, and all of a sudden you feel sorry for the devil. Just remember, my friends, that this is the way they raise armies over there. Just remember that just as your race increases, so also your enemies multiply. In fact, there is Israel stock scattered through that country, but interbred to a great degree. Part of Zebulon is still among the Slavic groups of that area, too. But remember that Yugoslavia has been more and more integrated with the peoples of Asia that are unassimilatable. But this is one of the strongholds in Soviet strategy and one of the pipelines for strength from your country into the land of your enemies. Well, let's take a good look at this strategy. You even gave them your own aircraft and you taxed your own people to supply and finance them with aid. They've been laughing at you. Then a few weeks after this, they pledged the fact that they will march with the enemy to destroy you. Same blueprint strategy calls for a peace conference with your race, with a design to disarm you and get you to surrender all of your strength and ability to retaliate against the hordes of Asia if they move, and then suddenly when they think you're quiet and still and that you're trusting them, they're going to give you the shiv of death. Well, the scripture is quite clear. God said that if you don't have sense enough to do it, that he'll have to do it for you. He said you're going to ask him to do it. More than this, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, where that outstretched wings of the eagle is the symbol of God's leadership in your nation over the nations of God's kingdom, he said that you would be narrowly the resistance against these hordes of the dragon. But these powers were going to be preparing and moving against you. God said, I'll make the earth to swallow them up. I'll cause the earth to swallow them up. And that's exactly what you're watching. This is judgment. Say, well, we can get an earthquake too and get judgment. Yeah, well, we've earned it. We get some judgment around here. I remember the last earthquake they had up at Tehachapi. Some of you folks were in church the night before when we told you it was shaking 24 hours. And it did. And I saw some of the pictures we showed you the following Sunday night. We showed you the motion pictures that the commissioners here for safety had taken of the buildings that the Chamber of Commerce didn't want anybody to know about that were hurt right here in the city of Los Angeles. You know, almost every one of them was a Due Department store. Churches alongside them that were not cracked. You know that this is more than truth, because most of the places destroyed at the epicenter were the areas of saloons and all of the problem area of the community. It received the biggest judgment. But let me point this out to you. That at this very moment, God Almighty can shake this city if he so wanted to, and the shake could render judgment on the enemy, never touch you. He said, 1,000 can fall side, and 10,000 by right hand, no harm fall nigh thee. I'm going to tell you, it'd be a lot better to shake a little plaster loose and have all of these unassimilatable people leave in fear anyhow. judgment begins in the house of God. I think it's time for America to realize that the sons and daughters of God, the instruments in God's hand, had better be the instruments of this judgment. It'd be better for you that you start fulfilling the law of God and moving out of your nation, out of your society, and by every process that you can employ, that you can accomplish the elevation of your standards and of your original constitutional life. I think it's time for you as a nation to start fulfilling the judgment of righteousness. Let's end this wave of crime and the same wave of threat and all these things that are involved by taking hold of our own society. And if you don't do it and God does it for you, you get hurt a little. Because those that made their bed with Babylon will know the chastisements that continue to come. But don't worry, God will make it again. There is a new creation that follows every destruction. So what we talk about here in Isaiah was of tremendous import. It affected whole changes in the earth's structure, and we still find that results of these conditions and their stresses continue to be recorded in even temporary changes in the earth's crust, and that the balance of the universe is still in the hands of the Father. And he said, I have a covenant with you and thy seed after you for 1,000 generations. If you want to see a new heavens and a new earth, if you want to see tranquility, if you want to see a quiet earth, then get this earth in adjustment with God. If the nations of God's kingdom accomplish their objective and the peoples of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see a new heavens and a new earth and the kind of creation the world's never witnessed before. And you'll find peace, and you'll find that the earth becomes then, in its relationship with God, a blessed place. I point out to you also in the book of Revelation these words. He said that, behold, I'm going to make all things new. And this is in the 21st chapter of Revelation, where it talks about a new order in the celestials and a new order in earth as the sons and daughters of his kingdom are elevated to their positions of responsibility. And the great new city, the new Jerusalem, is the city of peace that is made out of the peoples of the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard peoples. It's the headquarters cities of earth. You say, how do you know? Because it says here, come here, then I'll show you this bride, the Lamb's wife. And it carried me away in the spirit, and I saw this new Jerusalem, this new city of the ages. And the way to get in, it says, was the 12 gates. The names on the 12 gates are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And so having beheld this, he looked at the number, the measure, the gate, everything that relates to it is the covenant fulfilled of God elevating his kingdom and the world order and its master city and its world program being the household of God, your race, coming into its fulfillment. And along with it, he says, and behold, now I make all things new. He didn't say just a few things. He said all things new. New creation. So I said, when is that going to be? That's going to be after you've won the battle. That's going to be when the nations of God's kingdom have come to their full. In fact, let me assure you this, that you have 1,000 years of history in the earth to accomplish the objectives God's given you, because having overthrown and defeated the enemy, you're going to rule the earth with the righteousness of divine purpose and with the presence of God abiding with you for 1,000 years. Someone says, well, I don't believe that. That's just in the Bible. Well, it doesn't make a difference whether you believe it or not. It's still going to happen. You may not believe what God writes, but it's still of significance that every word that came out of the mouth of God shall be fulfilled. You know, I think this particular intellect might shouldn't be classified that way, but he thought that he was a super intellect anyhow. He said to me the other day, he said, I don't really believe that it's important whether men believe the Bible or not, because we're in a sophisticated age where we don't accept all these things that have been written in superstition inside the scriptures. And he said, after all, he said, we have bypassed all this. We have too much technical knowledge today. Well, do you know that you haven't any technical knowledge that surpasses the knowledge that God bestowed on men like Enoch or the pyramid builders? You don't have any technical knowledge that surpasses the laws of creation. If you look out there in space, then you may not know it, but the instruments and the crafts and the chariots of heaven are so far ahead of anything that you produced in astrophysics or anything you produced in aircraft that what you're still doing is in infancy. When someone starts to talk about technological superiority, you haven't had any evidences that these super intellects can control or build solar systems. They're having a hard time making space satellites. But the Father said, this is the way it'll be. You look back over the panorama of history ever since you've arrived, and every word of prophecy has been coming true with accuracy. there's a sure word of prophecy. Now you start probing the artifacts of ancient civilizations and of the background of men, of races, and what do you discover? You discover that what the Bible says, and when it refers to these things, did take place. The evidences of the reversal of the earth on its axis is not even known to some of your geological students, and those who are students today of meteorology and others who have studied the impact of astronomy and geology do understand this, and I know a lot of geologists that know this is true. The great drift from the comet tails you've gone through in the past, there's several drifts on the west side of your high mountains, and there's several drifts on the east side, which meant that the earth had to turn end to end, or they'd all be on the same side since the earth revolves into the east. When you plunged through a comet's tail, you'd have piled it up only on one side. And if the earth hadn't turned on its axis completely from pole to pole, you wouldn't have the debris of these past astrological contacts on the other side. This is known by geologists. So we could talk to you for hours just on the evidences of geology concerning the fulfillment of things stated in the Scripture. How do we have them in the Scripture? Well, God brought it to the remembrance of Isaiah. He brought it to the remembrance of Jeremiah, and they just told what they saw. God says, I can bring all things to your remembrance. Did I pour out my spirit on you? You have the capacity to receive it. And this is the connection between this consciousness, which is spiritual and celestial inside of you, and the source of its past experience. And that which is the mind of the Most High, and which is in your mind because you were there, could be brought back to your remembrance. And he said, the things which I have told you also from the beginning. You know, sooner or later, this nation is going to wake up not only concerning who it is, but through its vast panorama of history. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, one of these days, everybody's going to know as God knows them, and they're going to know as they should know and should remember. You know, you would have remembered everything that related to your past if it had not been for your fall. But the redemption to it, which is relating to you, restores this pattern of consciousness to you. See as you are beheld, and you know even as you are known. I cite to you that your race has before it its greatest destiny, its widest expanse of eternal tomorrows. And in this program, we are not going to be defeated. But at this turn, we are not also to resist, to stop resisting. We are to accomplish victory. We are to wake up. We are to carry forward this responsibility. The other day, as I was listening to one of the evangelists, every once in a while, we listen to some of these fellows that precede these broadcasts. And some of them we're kind of ashamed of because they know so little. And then when they put that Christian Jew on, that just about throws me because I never heard of one. We're talking about these broadcasts over the stations that we use. But I heard someone say, pay no attention to what's going on in the world, be utterly oblivious to all this. Just walk along with your mind on Christ and don't pay any attention to anything that's going on. Don't make a difference what happens, you're going to go to heaven if you do this. Well, this is really no great problem. I'm going to tell you something this afternoon. Getting to heaven is not a hard job. You just have to die and you can make it. This is where you came from. No man can get into heaven that didn't come down out of it, this I can promise you. No man goes to heaven, didn't come out of it. But you came down here to accomplish something. You didn't just get down here to find a way back. And you were not sent down here to walk along in oblivion to everything going on around you with just seeing Christ. In all things, he is to have preeminence, but it's better to obey him. He sent you down here to do something. He sent you down here to build a kingdom. You pray for it every day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, lazy theology isn't a healthy theology. And this theology that makes monkeys out of men is the kind of theology that doesn't follow through the directions and the purposes of God. People sometimes laugh at religion because religion becomes almost a tying force when it's misapplied. And instead of doing the things God wants done, people do not even read, Thus saith the Lord. I listened to these words of these clergymen this week, ordering integration, trying to develop it, wanting people to join with it, and everything they said was in violation of the law of God. And yet they're going along with their hands folded. Pious. Father said, depart from ye workers of iniquity. I don't even know you. Too many times we record the great impact of judgment, the patterns that relate to it, with the eternal character of spirit. We are sometimes trying to measure these judgments as it relates to the consciousness of the soul. And we are worried about the eternal destruction of the celestial being, the eternal judgments upon the soul of man. And we are equating the catastrophe in the physical world to eternal quality, and you can't do that. There isn't any place, under any circumstances, that the destiny of God and the power of God and the grace of God will not reach any living spirit. More than that, he goes farther to say that all flesh also is going to be saved, as it is written. All flesh. Going to restore all things, going to save all flesh, going to restore Israel to its glory and make the whole world to know that you're his sons and his daughters. Not talking about the Jews, even though the Jews some days will be reorganized into a proper relationship to his pattern, because the days of the apostles, he says he's going to reconcile all things unto himself, and this has been spoken of by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began, and even fallen archangels and fallen angels, and all these conditions are going to be balanced out with their proper relationship. They'll be placed in their part of the universe, and then they will go through those processes God has ordained until they are adjustable to his sovereignty. Some conditions are going to have to require a new creation. They didn't even exist before in any shape or form. But I want you to know that God is big and sufficient to accomplish these objectives. Because of the greatness of God's purpose, the length of tomorrows in which it reaches out to its operation did not release you from responsibility. Now, responsibility and accountability are two different things. Responsibility is built into you that you respond to the conditions in your environment, the capacities that God has built within you, and the energy that he places upon you. Accountability is when you're called to answer for something that you did. But responsibility is when you respond to conditions that exist. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, my sons and my daughters, my young men and my old men. I'm going to wrap them again in my glory. I'm going to make the world know that they're the sons and daughters of God. Some people are looking for this, and they will perceive and the evaluation of God's purposes more quickly than those that are not looking for these patterns. How shall they know unless someone tells them? How shall they know unless they study or meditate upon it? But I want you to know that it is your responsibility to resist this darkness. It's the responsibility of every Christian to use his influence to see we don't ratify these foolish treaties. It's the responsibility of every Christian to see that we do not destroy the rights of the children of God's kingdom in this great nation of God's kingdom by placing a superior right and privilege in the hands of those that are not of our race or of the kingdom of God. The time has come for the church to be counted as a great resisting force against the darkness. And don't worry about it. It's an eternal institution. But know this, that the period between judgment and the new creation is a tremendous period of empowered sons who are preparing and sharing in the development of a new creation. There's 1,000 years between the judgment and the eventual new creation before it moves into its fullness. In the midst of the times of the purposes which we have here outlined by the scripture, God Almighty said that the world's going to know that he's loved you and he's going to rule and reign with you in the earth. Someone said all the promises of the Bible are in heaven. I don't care whether it's the Bible Institute or Billy Graham or who tells you that. You're going to rule and reign on the earth, it says. That's the only place you've got any practice anyhow. Let me tell you this afternoon. The grace of God talks about the events which are ahead and said, I have to destroy the darkness. We have to break down the power of it. We have to upset their timing, their processes. And this is also a part of God's plan. The earth is going to shake. And with the earth shaking, there's going to be military action. And with military action, there's going to be political action. And in the midst of this, the kingdom of God's going to arise, fulfill its commands, and emerge triumphant and walking in the path which God's ordained. And God's big enough to do this, because this is an everlasting covenant for the people of his household. You are going to perform. Some people say, why do we have to go through these things? Because we're so hard and so disobedient sometimes that it takes these things to wake us up.